To another he said, follow me. But he said, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. But Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead. From the Gospel according to St. Luke, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, it just seems kind of harsh, doesn't it? Jesus calls this man to follow him, and all the poor guy wants to do is go and bury his father. I mean, why wouldn't Jesus allow this seemingly minor concession? It seems almost cruel for Jesus to deny him this opportunity.
But
I think there is a little more to this scenario than most would assume. I mean, we look at the request and we assume that this man's father is already dead. In all likelihood, this was not the case. What this man is asking is to go and be with his family until his father has passed away. Now Jesus' response starts to make a little more sense. Because, well, what happens when a son's father dies? The son gets inheritance. This man wanted to get all of his affairs in order and to
ensure his future
financial security by postponing Jesus' call on his life. Now we see a similar call and request in our Old Testament lesson, where Elijah calls Elisha to take on his mantle and follow him in becoming a prophet. Elisha also asks to return to his family, and that request is seemingly granted. But his was just to say farewell. What he does upon his return is what shows us his true commitment. He kills his oxen, and he uses the equipment to make a fire and to cook them, and then gives away the meat for all to eat. He left his family and destroyed his very livelihood by killing the oxen and using the equipment to make the fire. He does that to follow Elijah. And so we see these lessons and we ask ourselves, what have we given up to follow the call of Jesus? Or perhaps, what have we refused to let go of that is keeping us from being the disciples God is calling us to be? Now, it may not mean abandoning our families or giving up our livelihoods, but then again, it might. It may also be giving up some kind of lifestyle or letting go of routines and habits that keep us too close to sinful temptations. When I was in Malawi, I was blessed to lead a couple of men in retreat as they prepared for their ordination to the priesthood. One of them had a very interesting story. He came from a Muslim family and was converted by reading scripture. He was intrigued by the person of Jesus and found something in the gospel that he could not simply let go of. Kept it from his family for over a year, but he was finally convicted that he was to pursue ordination. And at that point, well, it was impossible to hide it any longer. And so, he told his family and was a bit surprised at their reaction. He was not shamed or immediately disowned, and he even eventually obtained his father's blessing in a sort of roundabout way. But he still had to abandon the faith and practice of his family, which necessarily caused some degree of separation, especially when you think of how crucial religious observances are to the life of a family, and that his vocation of a priest would take him far from what he knew. Now, when it comes to abandoning livelihood as Elisha did, the story's a bit more personal. When I was at Neshota House, they began a distance learning program. Sure, fine. But one of the components, along with the online studies, was to come out to the house for 1 week each semester. Okay, whatever. Come out for a week. But here's where things get a little crazy. So, Not only were these distance learning students basically spending a week in my home, not only were they sitting with the residential student body in the choir, but they actually matriculated to the house for their week-long stay. Now, you have to understand, matriculation to the house was a very big deal. We signed the big book. It gave us rights to be buried in the campus cemetery. We had a big reception afterwards. So maybe I was a little bitter about the whole situation. But one thing really stuck in my mind, and obviously I still remember it 10 years later, and that was that one of the distance learners drove up to the house from wherever he was from in his brand new BMW. And he would stand outside the classroom and chat with his fellow distance learners about their families and their jobs back at home. Meanwhile, I had classmates who had sold companies and left successful jobs, uprooted their entire families, much to the dismay of teenage children, and made the sacrifice to spend 3 years in the wonderful climes of Wisconsin to be educated and formed at the house. Looking back, I'm sure these distance learners were simply trying to heed God's call. But at the time, it really just felt like a half joke, given the stories of my classmates. Like, okay, we'll follow Elijah, but I'm not going to slaughter my ox, destroy my equipment, you know, just in case things don't work out. And of course, the final example is by far the most famous. In his Confessions, St. Augustine recorded his plea to God, "O Lord, make me chaste, but not yet." St. Augustine was accustomed to a lifestyle that, shall we say, was not in line with the Christian faith. Now, obviously, he would go on to abandon that lifestyle, or else we would not be referring to him as St. Augustine. Augustine knew what the call of God meant for his life, and however reluctantly, he aligned his life with his faith, called to be a devoted follower of Jesus. The call of God will always involve some kind of sacrifice, and that sacrifice will look different for each of us, depending on our situations and circumstances. For some, it may involve a separation from family or loved ones who would maintain some of our loyalty over and above Jesus Christ. For others, it might be a sacrifice of worldly goods or wealth that provide a sense of security, that keep us from putting our full trust in the providence of God. And still for others, it may be the denial of a lifestyle that keeps us from attaining the holiness to which we are called. Now, I'm not saying for to go out, abandon your families, sell your BMWs, I don't know if we have any out there, maybe a couple, and then to go live in a cave far from the temptations of this world. What I'm saying is that we all need to count the cost. To count the cost and see if there is anything that we are unwilling or unable to sacrifice for the sake of our discipleship. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.